Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and teaching today is entitled Distractions. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm using the term distraction as a very broad term here, as you'll see. Distractions can be excuses in our lives for actions. They can be reasons to justify our behavior or things that we do in certain cases. One of the things I wanted to look at today was we need to understand the impact of distractions in our life and how those distractions can hurt us in our ability to walk with and serve God. But before we look at some of those, I want to look at the solution to all distraction first, and that is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we read this last time when my brother was teaching about, you know, the times of Timothy and when these verses were sent to Timothy. And verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, now the scriptures are given, we know these verses very well. We've heard them many times. The word was given from God's mouth. God breathed, and he gave it for reasons. So we know what to believe. And we know, and we're not believing it properly, and how to get back to doing what's right. Why? So that we can be prepared to handle any eventuality in life. So we should understand that if I want to handle anything in life, whatever challenge, whatever thing confronts me, then the Word of God will help me and guide me in order to do that. And that's critical to understand when we look at the topic of distractions. We're going to see there can be a virtuous cycle here or a non-virtuous cycle. And I'll explain that shortly. In Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to Matthew 13. We're certainly not looking at all the distractions that exist, but just a handful of ones that you're all very familiar with, but nice to think about. Matthew 13 is a well-known parable. And in Matthew 13, verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then down in verse 18, where he explains the parable, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, in this particular case, whatever happens in that case, I don't know what it is, but when we've all heard God's word. This person heard God's word, didn't understand it, and how the wicked one came and snatched it away, I don't know. Doesn't say. But it happened in some way. It's gone. And then that is the case for the guy who never has an opportunity. So whatever caused him, and something would have caused him or her to do something that they didn't get to the point where they were able to understand it. Maybe it's just a decision. I don't want to understand this. Whatever it was. I don't know. Whatever it was, the word's gone. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon joy receiveth it. So he heard the word, receives it, yet hath he not root in himself. So why would he not have root in himself? Because he didn't develop the root in himself. For whatever reason, whatever the things were, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, and here's some of the I'm loosely labeling distractions. Tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, these tribulations and persecutions may not be something that you or I ask for. In fact, they're most likely not. But they happen nevertheless. Now, I can treat those in a couple of different ways. Persecution or tribulation comes at me or you, and here it says because of the word, right? I can say, well, I know what 2 Timothy says. If I want to handle persecution and tribulation, I ought to stick to God's word, because the word of God will help me handle that. If I allow the persecution and tribulation to move me off of God's word, guess what happens? I diminish in my ability to handle persecution or tribulation. You see the virtuous, non-virtuous cycle? The more we stay in God's word to handle these things, the more ability we have to handle them. The more we allow these things to move us off of the scriptures, whatever they might be, the less our ability to handle them. See, you have the option. You can go one way or the other with these. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns, verse, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, this case here, these are things that we allow to be distractions. Persecution and tribulation, I'm calling them distractions, because really when it talks to serving God, they are a distraction, are they not? They're meant to take you off. But here, cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches, these things happen. Now we could choose to not be impacted by the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, but sometimes we choose to be impacted by them. See, but they're distractions. Remember the whole point of this parable, Jesus Christ is teaching them, is to show you what happens. What the devil tries to do is rip the word of God from your life. Whether it's why he never gets the opportunity to hear it, whether it's by the never allowing ourselves to be rooted in it, allowing tribulation and pressure, or cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Whatever these things are, the point is to get you off the word. And guess what will keep you on the word? By staying in the word and recognizing the word prepares you for these things. If I'm not in the word a lot, then these things will take me out, and they can take me out. But the word, we just read it in 2 Timothy. If I want to handle these things, what do? Take you to the word. Verse 23, he that receiveth good seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, 60, and some 30. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's interesting to me what God calls distractions and or some of the things that are just part of normal life. But as far as when it comes to serving God goes, we need to treat them like they are, which is just a distraction off of your single-mindedness to serve and walk with God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Obviously, this is Paul speaking here. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Now we're talking about some very strong men here. Men who walked, went, traveled with Paul, they traveled with Luke, they traveled together, they saw amazing things. They saw amazing movement. And yet here it says that the love for the present age or the world took them out. They walked away from the truth. If we think that we're infallible, or we think that we will not be distracted by this present age, we should take heed to the warnings of Scripture. It says here these guys walked away. They deserted Paul. Remember the context of this section? We heard my brother teaching about it. How was a time when people were moving away from God's word? There was a lot of pressure. The church was kind of in its downfall. Many were turning away. And if Demas or the others had forsook Paul, what were they forsaking? The gospel. The one thing that could have helped them deal with not allowing the love for the present age to take precedence over their love for the scripture and God, they forsook that. You see that non-virtuous cycle? You just got rid of the thing that would have helped you deal with the problem that you were having. They could have stuck to the scriptures. Then they would have not loved the present age. Why? Because the scriptures tell us not to love the present age. Right? But they didn't. And they went away from Paul. Matthew chapter 6. I mean, there's so many things. I'm sure you can think of many examples of issues that arise in your life or that are challenging to handle. Matthew chapter 6, another well-known section of scripture here. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, well, is money a part of life? Do you have to learn how to handle money? Do you need money? Of course, money's not, you need, but the thing we're warned against here is not to serve it, right? Because here it says it can distract you so far away that you end up serving it. God is not saying avoid money. He's just saying stay away from serving it. That could be a major distraction in life. Remember Asaph, right, in the Old Testament? If you remember that wonderful psalm where he looked around and saw all the wealth of all the people around him and he took himself off away from serving God. What brought him back? God. When he went to God, when I went to the sanctuary of God, and I recognized what these people's end was going to be. Where did he learn that from? The scriptures. You see, the scriptures brought him back from being moved away from the scriptures, moved away from the word. The word brought him back from being moved away from the word. See, that's a virtuous. That's a cycle we want to imitate. Not the other one where you say, the heck with this, and then you go this way and refuse to come back to the one thing that you know will help you. The scriptures. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you eat or drink. You know what? What Jesus is saying here, don't worry about food. Don't even think about food. No, that's not what it's saying. You have to eat every day. You have to wear clothes. Again, the word we know there is take no thought is don't be anxious, anxiety. Right? Don't be anxious. Therefore I say, and take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? See, we need to deal with these things, but not to the point where it takes your eyes off the prize. Right? Of course you have to deal with things. But even the very simple things of life, what you eat, drink, the money you spend, all these things can be a distraction to take you away from the Word of God. Or you can just handle them the way we're supposed to handle them, recognizing that staying in God's Word will help me deal with all these issues in the way God designed for me to deal with them. It's up to me. Verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In fact, right here, we're reading about how to deal with those problems from the scripture itself. You see, here God presents, here's some problems. Here's, by the way, how do you deal with it? Well, it tells you right there, verse 30. God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take therefore no anxious thought. Don't be all distracted. Anxious distraction. Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know, if you didn't have God in your life, and that's really what the Gentiles is referring to here, if you didn't have God in your life, you could see that you could be totally preoccupied by any number of these things. Because you wouldn't have a greater purpose. You wouldn't have a greater thing that you were more interested in, which is serving God and the next life, which is coming, than these things. So he says, naturally, don't you know that that's what everybody else is involved in doing? Don't be like that. That's what he's saying here, you know. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of this, need of all these things, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, again, the warning, don't be distracted. And this time here, it's an interesting list, isn't it? Food, clothing, what you wear, you know, they're important, aren't they? Don't we get dressed every day? Don't we eat every day? Three times, sometimes four, sometimes none. These are, see, what I'm trying to point out, like even the daily things of life can lead to distraction away from the scriptures. How do you solve the problem? 2 Timothy 3. You go back to God's word. It's all doctrine, reproof, correction. So you are ready the next time that distraction comes to handle it properly. But if it takes you away from the scriptures, then you will not be able to handle it any better the next time. Okay, let's go to, where are we going here? Matthew 12. Spending a lot of time in Matthew today. I guess Jesus Christ had some good things to say. Matthew, that's a lightning attack worthy statement. That is. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he yet, talking about Jesus Christ speaking here, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, and told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So did Jesus Christ hate his family? Is that what he's teaching here? Don't love your family. No. But as a priority, he would not even let his family distract him from doing the will of God, from those who did the will of God. So what's the warning? Well, it can be a distraction. Can it not? Can your family be a distraction? It's just, but you got to live in your family. You got to deal with your children, your uncles, aunts, relatives. This is something you do on a regular basis. You see, even those kind of things, we just learned about food and clothing and shelter and spending money. We do that all the time. See, all these things can get to the point of distraction. That's where we have to recognize, the way we recognize it is by taking our time to stay in the scriptures and recognizing what's happening. What are my thoughts? What are my priorities? What am I living for? What do I get excited about? What do I think about most of the time? These are all questions we need to answer for ourselves. Matthew chapter 5. More Matthew. Oh no. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 29. And if thy right, now, this gets worse. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Before, Jesus Christ was just teaching us to hate our family. Now he's telling us to do self-harming, right? Wow. If thy right hand eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What's he doing? Was he advocating self-harming? Of course not. But when it comes to something getting in the way of your ministry, your worship, your serving, what is he saying? He says, deal with it. Cut it off. Pluck it out. Get rid of it. Because it's going to distract you away from what you're trying to do, to serve God. And how do we do that? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That's why I started with that verse, because that's the solution. Because it tells us there that if you stick in the Word, you'll be ready to handle anything that comes your way. Anything. It'll come your way. You'll be ready because you've been prepared by the Word of God. So we have a special, what is this referring to? I don't know. Maybe there's something in a person's life that constantly distracts him. A problem, a constant problem. Drugs, alcohol, sex, passion. There's a lot of things out there. Is there something that constantly occupies our thinking that we need to get rid of? Deal with it? And if we've been in the Word of God, we'll know how to deal with it. But if I allow that thing to preoccupy my thinking all the time, guess what? Then I will be distracted and I will lead to a neglect of the Scriptures. There's no remedy without the Word of God. So on one hand, the distraction can keep you away from the Scriptures. On the other hand, the Scriptures can help you deal with the distraction. Your choice, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I love how God's Word deals with all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. That's that same word, that anxiety, anxiousness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now that's interesting. Is Paul saying people shouldn't get married? The same man who was inspired to write that marriage is an example of the mystery in Ephesians, is he saying we shouldn't get married? No, that's not what he's saying at all. In a marriage situation, the husband or the wife can choose to serve his or her spouse over serving God. Is that a temptation? Is it a distraction? Paul's saying it can be. If I'm not aware of this, and how am I aware of this? Guess what? The Scriptures just told me that. It's interesting how the Scriptures tell you what you need to know in order to avoid the problem, isn't it? That's what 2 Timothy is saying. The Scriptures just told me this, right? Does it mean, it's interesting, if you read back to verse, if this was an absolute, then verse 32 is interesting. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. Is that true for every unmarried person? No. See, it's not an absolute. It's like when you're unmarried, you can serve the Lord easily, easier without distraction than when you're married. When you're married, does that mean you can't serve the Lord without distraction? No. It means we need to be aware that it can be a distraction. If I'm aware of it, I will not allow it to be a distraction. And how am I aware of it? 2 Timothy 3:16. The Scriptures told me. They told me what to believe, when I'm wrong, and how to get back to it. So you certainly can, but you got to recognize Paul is warning here of a possible temptation. A believer can be married and serve the Lord without distraction, but should be aware of the temptation. See, it's interesting, all these things in life that are just a daily part of life and how they impact your ability to serve God, we need to be alert and aware of those things. And the Scriptures do keep us aware of those things. 2 Timothy 2. Almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 2. By the way, the word distraction is only used there in the Bible, and it's related to another word when Martha was all cumbered about serving. Distracted, you know. And Jesus Christ said, Mary's listening, and you're just kind of interested in that word. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You teach, Timothy, and teach others to teach. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So, you know, soldier, endure hardness. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And here you can look at this a lot of different ways. I mean, if you're a soldier, then you know, you don't get caught in, you don't get involved in civil affairs, civil things. No, does that mean as a soldier you don't pay your taxes, you don't vote, you don't, you know, do, of course you do all those things, but you don't get so distracted that takes you away from serving in the military or whatever, if that is a military analogy there. Right? But here it's talking about, you know, when he's, Paul's teaching Timothy to teach and minister, don't you recognize, Timothy, you're serving God. Don't get distracted by the things. I don't want to, don't go march on Washington. Don't go do this. Don't get involved in this and get involved in the other. There are so many things that you and I can get involved in. There are so many distractions of the world that if it takes us away from being a good soldier and serving him, we need to deal with it and move on. Don't get entangled. You got to vote. You got to do all these things we got to do in life. But do not be entangled with it. It will take you out. How do I know that? Bible tells me that. We need to focus on what we're here to do, which is to serve God, serve our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, and not be distracted, not be moved off that prize. Don't move away from that narrow way by all the various distractions of life. Proverbs chapter 4, please. Are there others I was thinking about that, you know, we could have looked at? Sickness. There's not a distraction. Proverbs chapter 4. Sickness. Does sickness something you got to think about all the time? If you're sick, sure you do. You know, it's got to be there. It's always in your face, always there, nagging at you. If you haven't been able to see deliverance in an area, you know, how come you can't believe? What's wrong with you? It's constant. Distractions are constant. But see, we know better because the Word of God prepares us to handle those things. So if I stay in the Word of God, it will allow me to deal with those things. How about idolatry? That's another one. Putting anything in our mind or thoughts and ahead of God. There's a lot of distractions. We didn't cover them all. But the solution again here, just to highlight that in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. You know, and here again, those words that we know, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know, to incline our ear, to hear, to not depart from our eyes, to read, to see, and to keep them in the midst of our heart, to meditate and think about them. Those are all things that take time. This is time that I've got to make. This is time in my life. If I want to incline, I want to attend, and I want to keep, these are things that I must actively do every day of my life. If I'm going to keep those things in my mind, let them settle in my heart, so when those things arise, whatever they might be, that we'll be able to handle it and deal with it. Right? So it takes time to do these things. The Bible, you know, you can read about, it says that we have more understanding than our teachers. By taking heed to Scripture. More understanding than the ancients. All the acquired and accumulated knowledge and wisdom of history of all time is not to be compared to the wisdom of Scripture. It's greater, more profitable, more powerful than all of that. The Scriptures themselves say that they keep you from pride. They help you walk in fellowship. They keep you from the paths of the destroyer. Strengthens you, brings you joy, quickens you, gives you wisdom, keeps you on the straight path, gives you peace, comfort, patience, and many, many other things the Scriptures say that they benefit you in this way. And we'll close in 2 Timothy 3. We started there. Let's read it again to close. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 again, please. So having looked at some of the distractions, this is again that wonderful, you know, God-breathed and God-given way in order for us to handle. You know, the Bible does say that it contains all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Everything. It doesn't just tell you how to worship. It doesn't just tell you how to teach, or it doesn't just tell you, it tells you how to live, what you do in your life, your civil life, your family life, your, you know, your life among the church, everywhere. When you're sick, when you're feeling well, it deals with all of those things. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. All this amounts to instruction in righteousness. Why? That you may be ready. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, you know, tribulation, persecution, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, specific personal issues, right eye, right hand stuff, your family, love for the age, your personal needs, food, clothing, shelter, your marriage, business, politics, affairs of life, sickness, and so on. Some of these you have no control over, persecution and pressure. Others you have to deal with on a daily basis, but in all cases, whether you have control over or not, they can just be issues that arise that you are able to handle, or they can be distractions that move you away from the narrow path and your service to God. In all cases, it is God's word, the scriptures, that prepare you to handle the issues that come your way, whether they are in your control or not. So, one question, do you have a systematic schedule in your life that ensures your time in the scriptures?